Hey, Black Tie, how's it going, man?
Just getting ready for today's show, yeah. Man.
What are you, anything planned this weekend?
Big fantasy matchup.
Really?
Huge fantasy matchup, yeah.
Fantasy
and championship.
Final. Yeah, me too. But the thing is, I don't really care about my season-long fantasy league anymore because I'm playing FanDuel.com and picking a new team every week.
Whoa, when did that start?
Well, it started recently, and FanDuel is now playing out, I think, like somewhere in the region of $170 million this NFL season. But, you know.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
what's
Dave.
Going on today? How are you? Hey, I just heard you guys talking about FanDuel. Do you know Joe Watson from New York played fantasy football on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks last season? He won over $30,000.
Wow, that's really cool. I guess, you know, you could, if you aren't, Black Tie and I obviously are, but you could join hundreds of thousands of other users who've already won money. So if you went to FanDuel, clicked on the microphone, used the code DDFP, you could get a new user special, which would give you your match your first deposit dollar up to $200. But remember, that's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today.
Hit it, Black Tie.
It's the footballiest time of the year. With quarterbacks throwing and tailgaters ready for some brats and beer. It's the pigskiniest time of the year.
Hi and hello and happy holidays, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program, available as always on Stitcher, iTunes, and at NFL.com/Shack.
S-H-E-K, Shack, Shack, Shack.
Thanks, as always, to our pal, the one-man house band, Dick Banks, for that nice little jingle, as well as all of his work. If you missed the Shack Report this week, he has a renewed, an updated version of the Chicago Bears Super Bowl Shuffle from 1985, as performed by the 2014 Chicago Bears. So make sure you look out for that one. Meantime, it's time to jump into Week 16 here. We have a banner gang gathered here in Studio 66. Maximum strength! In a matter of moments, we'll be talking with Ravens wide receiver Torrey Smith. I'm in the holiday spirit, Black Tie behind the glass, and I think that it's time that whatever ails the relationship between Ravens and Steelers, I think we can make it right by joining forces and singing about Christmas time, so on and so forth. Also, Happy Hanukkah, which is actually underway. Let's say hello to the two fellas sitting here in Studio 66. First of all, he is a Dolphins fan, which means he's feeling a little sad right now, but I'm sure his spirits will be boosted by the arrival of Christmas time. It's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
Doing good, thank you, Dave. Excited to be here. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Yes, well, of course, to you. And it is my fervent wish, you and from around the NFL, Dan Hanzus, of that podcast, where I guess Hanzus actually addressed the emotional abuse that is involved in raising a young child to be a New York Jets fan. Could maybe say the same thing for Dolphins fans.
I wouldn't argue with you for a second.
Do the right thing and make him a Steelers fan, right?
He's all over the show at the moment. First of all, he was wanting to be a Jets. I think anyone who's a longtime listener of this has heard that my eldest son, who's now nearly five, I'm a Dolphins fan, wants to be a Jets fan. Fortunately, I told him, in fact, this time last year, exactly, that Santa hates the Jets. And although we tried to disprove that, he's now off the Jets. Cowboys, he likes. Panthers, he likes. Chargers, he likes. I'm fine with any of those. But
it's interesting
not
the head coach of the Jets, currently at least, his brother looks a lot like Santa. So it would be ironic that he would hate.
Right.
That Santa would hate that team. But anyway, that's a conversation for another time. Who should you, if you're a responsible parent, who should you try to convince your young child to root for going forward? In the meantime, we talk about the Around the NFL podcast and the fine pages that those fellows make for you at NFL.com, keeping you up to speed on all that's going down in the NFL. And even before Week 16, teams like the Chicago Bears are making news with their Jay Cutler business. Here he is, everybody, to answer some of our questions our favorite guy who used to live on an island. It's Chris Wessling. What's the poop with you, fella?
Hey, Dave. I did. As we used to say on Tybee Island, if I was doing any better, there would have to be two of me.
I see. I love the folksy charm that comes off that island. Someday we will all travel there and do an island cast. That would be good. We just do a week of island casts out there. All right. In the meantime, like I say, fellas, week 16 is nigh. And before we jump into the Red Challenge flag segment here, when we make our weekly picks here, by the way, obviously, Elliot Harrison is not in, and Chris Wessling good enough to jump in with us and fill his shoes. Maybe he can bring the heat that you and Elliot always lack, handsome. You guys always agree on everything. Maybe Wessling will get the spirit of this, which is conflict. That's what we want.
Okay.
You know?
Let's see.
Maybe you guys should deliver your picks. Maybe you guys you should do you could sing your answers in Christmas carols.
Maybe. Know? I don't think you want that.
Before we get into the picks for Week 16, fellas, it's time for something we started last week when we call all that is buzzing out there in social media, and specifically the questions and comments that you direct to us here in Studio 66. It's time for Social Study. And let's get into it here. The first item is from Brad Tucker, a.k.a. at Glue on My Strings. It's directed at not just me, but also at Chris Wessling. If the playoffs was a round robin of Green Bay, New England, Denver, and Seattle, who would come out on top, or would all go 2-2? Kind of like in, if you remember the World Cup this summer, what do they call it, a group of death kind of thing. I think we can pretty much bat it around as much as you want to. These are the four best teams in the NFL right now. The Packers, the Seahawks, the Patriots, and the Broncos. And maybe you could make a case for a couple others. But let's tackle it this way. And I'm going to start with you, Wessling. Who would come out on top?
I've got the Seahawks coming out on top. I'm convinced that their defense is back to at least the level it was last year and maybe even better. I think Bobby Wagner's better this year than last year. I think Michael Bennett's playing at a higher level this year than last year. And they've moved Byron Maxwell to the slot and put Therald Simon outside. That's helped their secondary. The Legion of Boom might even be better than last year.
Okay, so the Seahawks would be your one, and then go out. I want to hear – if you want to mull that over, Handsome, do you want to lay your number one on us?
It's an interesting one. I think if you'd asked me this question 3 weeks ago, I would have said the Packers would be number one.
And let me just clarify, too, because in case you aren't familiar with Group of Death, basically what we're talking about is all these teams playing one another, obviously.
I get it.
So,
yep,
I know you understand, but I realize. Talking to the viewer.
Thank you. If you'd asked me this question 3 weeks ago, I would have definitely said that the Packers would be that team. But I think right now, the way that the Seahawks are playing with the defense rounding into form, with you know them finding a way to win with asking Russell Wilson just to do that much and Marshawn Lynch looking fairly fresh at this time of year, I agree. I think it's the Seahawks number one.
I know I've been saying, and believe me, the 12s are hitting me up on social media now the last couple of weeks demanding apologies for me saying they weren't going to go to the playoffs as though it was a personal affront to them. I was trying to upset the 12s by saying I didn't think the Seahawks were going to the playoffs. I'll remind everybody now, you know, the Seahawks still aren't in the playoffs, everybody. And if they lose to the Cardinals in Glendale, which is not an impossibility, the great defense, the strength of that team is grinding it out. And if you're going to play that kind of ball, if you have a fluky play go against you, and Bruce Arians is not a conservative sort of fella, I could see him trying some trickery out there on Sunday in Glendale to try and create some points. And, you know, as close as the Seahawks are playing, everybody, game in and game out, I don't hand it just because Ryan Lindley's bad. I don't think that the Seahawks are a given to do that. So I kind of feel like, you know what? It's hard to say this as many times as they've tripped up over the years now. I'm going to say the Patriots are the best team, and they would do the best in a round robin against these teams. I'm going to put them at number one.
That's my two seed. I have the Patriots number two. I'm not going against Belichick, Brady, and Gronk. I mean, to me, and throw in Revis. They actually have several young stars on defense. They have the number two defense by Football Outsiders metrics over the past 6 weeks. So when we think about the offensive side of the ball, this is a complete team, and I think Bill Belichick is coaching better than anybody this year.
And taking the runaway now. So that's the other factor if you talk about what is a legitimate possibility that they might have to play the Broncos and the Seahawks come playoff time and Super Bowl time. I kind of like them being able to slow down the running attacks of those two teams. Handsome, who's your number two?
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue with the Patriots. I mean, you know, they've been playing well. That said, you know, it's not that long ago that the Packers managed to knock them off, and that was a great game. So we'll see. I think I'd still put the Patriots right now in number two, but.
My number two is the Packers. I know the Seahawks fans are going to go crazy about me saying that they're Seahawks. It's not disrespect. It's my belief in Aaron Rodgers rising to the occasion. Yes, the Bills, I understand it's an update league. If you saw the Bills game, you think, well, clearly they're not a very good – listen, you saw what they've been doing for the last 2 months. Prior to that, the Bills have a good defense. You can't get up for every single game. These are human beings you're watching. I figure that was just a bump in the road, and I think the Packers are going to show it over these next 6 weeks. So I'm going to stand by that. At number three, Wes, who do you have?
I have the Packers at three. If this was a neutral field, if this was a home field for them, they'd be number one. But they are under 500 on the road this year, averaging 20 fewer points a game, and I think we've identified a weakness with the Packers. After 14 games, they don't deal well with physical teams, especially physical defensive lines, which Seattle, Denver, and even New England has a physical defensive line now. I think the Packers can be pushed around a little bit. But that said, nobody's playing quarterback at a higher level in history, I believe, than Aaron Rodgers.
Handsome, you're number three.
I'm definitely going with Packers at this point. I mean, I think you the Broncos are the number four for me. So the Packers are going to squeeze right in at number three.
Yeah, it was stunning stuff. Brian Billick was in here earlier in the week. You can go back and listen to that podcast, and he said that you know, he agrees with what I, you know, it's not me taking shots at Peyton Manning and saying he fails in January. This isn't a matter of you know, old man winter and mother nature teaming up, and they've been a bugaboo for Peyton over the years as well. But now we're talking about father time, and that's right. That's the real issue for me. And I, until we see, all right, he just had dead arm, or maybe he had something wrong with the thigh there, or he had the flu and he wasn't right. But I mean, this has gone on for a month now. So I'm intrigued to see how Peyton bounces back. If starting in Cincinnati on Monday night, let's see him go against a pretty good defense there and see how he performs there. So we all have the Broncos then as our fourth place team.
That disappoints me because, especially on your podcast, I wanted to come on and kind of level the playing field for Peyton Manning. But I have to be honest, from what I've seen on Game Rewind, I'm not happy with his arm. To me, it's the most disappointing he's looked in the last, I don't know, 5 years.
I don't know even the adjective disappointing is what I just think it's a reality. I mean, not that that's an adjective either. Specifically a noun.
That said, we're not talking about a guy who's the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. He can still be 6th, 7th, or 8th. But to me, when you're not relying on your quarterback, it's a sign that maybe he's not what he once was.
Right, but this is a way more balanced Broncos team than it was a year ago.
Absolutely.
We now know they can run the ball. They've got a defense that's playing better.
People
than
aren't
it was.
Running on them really a huge upgrade for them.
Right. But the question will come when it comes to the playoffs, and if you were in this imaginary group of death and you've got some pretty good defenses here, they're going to do something which, you know, we haven't said for in a long time, but they're going to challenge Peyton to try and win this game.
Okay, so our final list is you guys go Seahawks 1, Packers 2, Patriots 2, which, I mean, listen, I think we'd all sign off on that Super Bowl right now. I'd also sign off on Patriots. Packers would be juicy stuff. And for that matter, I know people will say, enough with the Broncos and Patriots, but if it were Broncos in a rematch of last year's Super Bowl or the Packers, also good. If we get these four teams, basically some combo of these four teams playing in the Super Bowl, I think we're all going to be pretty happy about that. All right, next question in the social study is, hey, producer TD, could you ask, what am I, some king who can't be addressed directly? I don't know when this happened.
Complete nonsense.
Could you please ask Damashek, who is the best overall athlete, Cristiano Ronaldo?
You know who that is?
I know who he is. He's the handsome devil from the World Cup.
Or, you know, the Portugal. Greatly skilled football player.
Portugal. You love him. You're in love with that guy.
I'm a Manchester United fan. I've known him since he was 17. Well,
King James LeBron, LeBron James, or Odell Beckham. I'll tell you, he's been leading the charge since day one for the Odell Beckham charge is one Chris Wessling. So I'm going to start with you here, Wes. Who's the best overall athlete?
In the NFL or those names included?
Those names, yeah.
It's hard to top Odell Beckham. I mean, come on. This guy, you see him before the game, he can throw 50 yards with either arm. He looks like you see his soccer skills. I mean, he's got the skills. You see the ball tricks he does. I've seen video of him hitting switch hitting in baseball. To me, how do you go against Odell Beckham right now? I mean, I compared this guy to 80s era Michael Jordan a month ago.
Wow. Heady stuff. And by the way, all of a sudden, just as a side note, I don't think everybody, this is the time of year where people talk about who should get fired, what coaches should move on. I think the Giants make a mistake if they get rid of Tom Coughlin. Things set up well. I mean, they don't want to put Eli at this stage in his career, give him a new offensive coordinator. Just stay with what you have. Victor Cruz plus Odell Beckham plus Eli Manning. I think that offense, there's a lot of room for optimism if you're a Giants fan. Hold on to Tom Coughlin. Handsome, how say you on this athlete question?
Well, I think we had a video last year where Cristiano Ronaldo was throwing a football. And it was not a good-looking sight.
Thank you. I was going to bring that up.
That did happen, right? That's not just my imagination.
He's a soccer player. What do you think he's going to do? What skills does he have beyond kicking the ball? Can't use his arms. How good an athlete could he possibly be?
Exactly. So let's rule him out at this stage.
Can use his head pretty well.
All right. I don't think that's
going to... Both feet?
What a great cornerback he'd be.
He can use
both feet.
Wow.
Long range.
So then I think LeBron, you know, we've heard about his career and as a high school football player and, you know, terrific athlete, but getting up there in years, and I'm only basing that on his hairline because I have no idea how old he is. And then you've got Odell Beckham, who seemingly, as Wes says, can do literally anything. It's got to be Beckham. And this is a young guy who's going to be dominating, I think. And you know, with David Beckham having been the first Beckham, and I don't think they're related, but maybe they are. I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to become a hero worldwide because people are going to buy that Beckham jersey with a giant New York City. It's New York City.
Interesting
it's Beckham,
theory.
It's the Giants. I think people around the world are going to be buying Beckham jerseys. And honestly, in Thailand, China, Japan, you go anywhere in the world, David Beckham is a big star. I think Odell
marketing
Beckham,
term brand confusion right. will be good for Odell Beckham.
Yes.
Oh, am I buying? Is this the soccer guy? He loves him. Yeah. That's the sort of those are the roots behind why so many people wind up as grown-ups rooting for certain NFL teams.
Right.
Because I always say my friend Elliot growing up, his mother tried to get him in Pittsburgh. Everybody had that Letterman jacket, the black with the gold sleeve leather thing.
Beautiful.
But his mother, by mistake, got him a San Diego Chargers one. I don't know why that was being sold in a Pittsburgh store. I don't know. But anyway,
that's
she got him the
mistake.
Chargers one.
Christ.
And Elliot is now a Chargers fan. That's what happens.
Right.
So maybe these people say, like, you know, like, oh, it must be David Beckham. And then it turns out it's Odell, and there will be a whole new generation of New York Giants fans. All right. I will say it's King James because he's 6'8". That's the difference. That's the tiebreaker. They're pretty close. He does all this. And he's a Giant. Look, deal with that, Odell Beckham. We gave him, if you said to King James, you have a year to do some rigorous training to become a defensive back in the NFL, he would be able to take away Odell Beckham.
I'd love to see LeBron James trying to cover in his prime Wes Welker. Welker would lose him in a heartbeat.
Boy, that would be so much fun. If we could have guys do sport. Well, of course, that was the old ABC Superstars competition. But not just riding bikes and stuff like that. This would be, hey, King James, I'm going to play your sport. Now you have to play my sport and see who's the better.
My favorite is when the NASCAR guys weigh in, like Dale Earnhardt Jr. could out-athlete LeBron James or something. Come on, give me a break.
All right, and the last question in this week's social study comes to us from Dylan G. DeValk. And he says to me, didn't you pick Jay Cutler to be the MVP preseason? Let me tell you something. Like the late, great Jerry Orbach says to the late, great Patrick Swayze at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And I was wrong in this case. I was wrong on a couple other things, too. I said the Saints would have the number one seed in the NFC. They'll be lucky to get into the playoffs. I said that the Chargers were going to win the AFC West. I don't feel that bad about that one. But, you know, a couple things here and there could have gone that way.
Damon Sharks a genius.
Thank you, A.J. Hawk. But nonetheless, Jay Cutler was a swing and a miss. The only question is for me. What happened here? How could he – maybe he's not the MVP no matter what, but how was that offense, Wes? You break it down as well as anybody I know, the X's and O's of it. What happened to this offense this year when you consider the pieces? A good offensive line, the best multi-purpose back in the NFC, the Giants, the giant and talented pass catchers they have. How was this not – the defense could be complete garbage. So what? They may be out of the playoffs. But how was this not a prolific offense?
Well, I can give you a few small factors, but they're not going to add up to a satisfying answer. Brandon Marshall had ankle injuries throughout the season, was never himself. Alshon Jeffrey had a hamstring injury early on. They never got in rhythm in the passing game. The offensive line had many new bodies in. Last year, I think they were the only team not to miss a single game on the offensive line. So some of that, all the injuries and the changing personnel might have contributed to it, but to me, it looks like a clear devolution for Jay Cutler.
Oh, are you calling him a diva?
Devolution.
I knew that's what you're saying, but it's interesting.
Yes, I do believe Jay Cutler.
In some Freudian way, you called him a diva.
I would use the term spoiled brat, but you can go with diva if you want.
I think that's the male version of being a diva. Handsome, your thoughts?
Well, I think the question you were asked, which team should go after him, right?
I didn't ask that, but go ahead and weigh in on that. Or, you know, again, same thing with Tom Coughlin. The Bears are best off. Just keep him. What are you going to what better is out there? What are you going to do? And
Bears fans hate you right now for that.
I understand, but, you know, the fun game to play is name the quarterbacks in the NFL he's better than. You'll be surprised that you can name a decent handful of guys that are worse than Jay Cutler. Is he in the top half of the quarterbacks in the NFL? He probably is right around there, like 17, 18, right? Where do you think he goes, Handsome?
I can't see how the Jets don't make an ill-fated bid for Jay Cutler that will go horribly wrong and lead the franchise into more of a morass.
That'll be fun.
It will be fun.
Maybe they can hire Mark Trestman to be their new head coach.
That's an idea.
I have a feeling he's going to be free. All right, fellas, let's get into it now. Thus ends Social Study. It is time for the Red Challenge Flag segment. Red Challenge Flag Minutes. All right. Like I say, Torrey Smith of the Ravens is coming up here in just a second here, but we got some big-time games and some crummy games as well. We'll start off in Heinz Field, though. This is massive stuff. The Steelers, a victory, and they are into the playoffs. The Chiefs still scrapping with a real shot at getting in themselves. Handsome Hank, I start with you.
Dave, this week I actually made an attempt at picking, because I almost managed to justify it to myself, picking every single road team to win.
I love it, and you're getting buzz for it online. Talk
well,
about social.
I was getting buzz for it online, but I've already backed off of my prediction, because I couldn't really justify it to myself. There's a few that just don't make enough sense, and actually this is one of them. I'm going with your Pittsburgh Steelers to win this, and in doing so, book themselves a playoff berth.
Chris Wessling, how say you?
When I go to watch Game Rewind on Sunday nights or Monday morning after all the games are over, the first team I go to see is the Pittsburgh Steelers because I find them exciting to watch. They don't always play up to their potential, but they have exciting talent. And the last team I go to see is the Kansas City Chiefs because they have an exceptionally boring offense and never throw beyond 5 yards. I think the most amazing stat maybe of the year is that going into this game, Antonio Brown has more receptions, yards, and touchdowns than the entire Chiefs wide receiver core combined.
Wow, what a number that is. And by the way, I've been leading the charge for Antonio Brown. People now are accusing me of the straw man argument of me saying, well, Antonio Brown is undebatably the best receiver in the NFL over the last 2 years. People say, who disagrees with that? Well, a lot of people disagree with that to this day, and certainly they did 2 weeks ago, but the numbers can't be debated, really. He's been awfully productive in that offense. And I'm going to take the Steelers at home because I like the simplicity of what is in front of them. If, you know, forget the math right. Of like, if we do, then we might have home field. Hey, guys, win this game and you go to the playoffs and then everything else will figure it out. I like that carrot for the Steelers and I think they will get it done. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints in that atrocious NFC South, but a big one. Wes, how say you?
Well, we need to know Julio Jones' status. I believe he's questionable game time decision. This offense is terrible without him. With him, they're very frisky. That's how important he is to their offense. Since he's questionable, I'm leaning toward the Saints. It's really a pick'em game. I think the Saints are a little bit healthier. To me, you can look at their defense, and they have guys like Cameron Jordan, Junior Gallette, Keenan Lewis, who are playing pretty high level and are talented. And then you look at the Falcons, and all they have is Marcus Trufant on defense. To me, the Saints have a more talented roster. I'm going with them.
Handsome, how say you?
I am going to.
We've deviated, by the way, from the spirit of the Red Challenge Flag segment. The way it works, Wes, you state who you think's going to win, and he decides if he wants to throw the Red Challenge Flag.
Oh,
your
okay.
Statement.
Yeah.
All right, but going forward, go ahead. Now,
like the Merry Gentleman, my red flag is going to rest God rest ye.
Can't you sing it? Try singing it.
God rest ye, red challenge flag in my pocket. Yeah, staying in my pocket. Okay. I think similar to what you said with the nice. Steelers, the Saints know that they have to. This is kind of a they get to eliminate one of the teams that's vying for the NFC South title. It's pretty simple. We win. Those guys aren't going to the playoffs, and then we have to hope that Johnny Manziel can beat the Panthers. So I'm going to say that the Saints win this one.
I'm going to go against you guys, and I'm with Wes on Julio Jones' significance, but I'm going to say, given how close it was that he went last week, I think he will get out there this week. And I just like when he is out there, at least, that offense is better than what the Saints are throwing out there these days. And I will take Matt Ryan on the road and sweeping the Saints. Couple more real quick here, fellas. Let's talk about the Sunday night game, the Seattle Seahawks at the Arizona Cardinals. I've given you my thoughts on why the Cardinals can hang in this one. Every game that they play is nip and tuck, as it is for the Seahawks. So with that as the backdrop, Handsome, how say you?
I am picking the Seattle Seahawks to win it. Ryan Lindley, poor guy, is going to be horrible.
And the other point with that is, too, Logan Thomas, this is what you can extrapolate. Logan Thomas must be abysmal in practice, because we know that Ryan Lindley is not good. So Logan Thomas must be showing absolutely zero, even though he'd look good in August.
He did look good in August. That's the thing.
I know. He must obviously not be much of anything if they're going with Lindley.
There's
going to
be a
Lindley
package for him, Bruce Arians tells us. The Logan Thomas package.
I am keeping the challenge flag in my pocket.
There you go.
Seahawks defense is playing lights out. I think the world of Bruce Arians. I think the world of the Cardinals as a team. But I know that Ryan Lindley has thrown 180 passes in the NFL without a touchdown.
Right. All right.
And Dave, as you said, you said earlier that Arians is going to have to get creative. He's going to have to get super creative to get points.
Well,
it's not going to be like he's going to have to be a little bit creative. It's going to be trickeration from minute one.
I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Patrick Peterson and or John Brown taking direct snaps or some hooey and applesauce to try and scratch out some extra points. Arians will gamble, I think, whereas other coaches aren't inclined to do so. I talked with Michael Robinson, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks, now of NFL Media. I am a name dropper, and that's why I bring it up, but also to say that it's not the imagination of Arians so much as it is Todd Bowles. And the way he explained to me really the unique way that the Cardinals stuff the run against everybody. They bring a defender or two laterally across the line to do that. I think if they can stop Marshawn Lynch, what's become scary? If you take away Marshawn Lynch, the reason Cardinals lost to the Seahawks earlier this year was because Russell Wilson got loose on them. They shut down Marshawn Lynch, and that's not an anomaly. They've been doing that pretty well the last couple of years. If they take Marshawn Lynch away, then what's so fearsome about the Seahawks? Then they have to scratch out.
The pick sixes and fumble sixes.
Then they only lose by 12 points, right? Other than 20.
All right. All that said, I'm taking the Seahawks. I'm with you guys on the Seahawks. I'm just playing the devil's damashek here. Two more, and then we're done. Indianapolis Colts, Dallas Cowboys. Wes, I'll say you.
I'm going Colts on this one.
Handsome.
I just haven't been able to trust the Cowboys all year.
Good King Red Challenge flags on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't know if that one works.
It works for me. I like it. I'm glad it made it out.
I think
you guys agreed on every game up to this point.
I know. Well, here you go. I've got a little conflict. You asked for it.
Thank you.
It's not what the holidays are about, but there you go. I think the Cowboys are going to win it. I think even with DeMarco Murray likely not being in this game, I think the Cowboys are going to run the ball. They're going to and the Colts have occasionally had problems stopping that. But it hasn't necessarily paid to go after them in the passing game anyway.
Well, I like DeMarco Murray a lot. He's obviously a high-end runner. But I trust it's more about, to me, as it is for a lot of people, the offensive
right,
line
exactly.
there. I think they'll be able to make their hay. And this is a huge game for them. For the Colts, it is not. It bears very little significance. Although, I have to use the NFL.com playoff tracker.
Playoff predictor.
Predictor, where you can put in all the scenarios and it'll tell you where you are.
And then you can share your results.
I got news for you. The Ravens and Steelers, if things break right, can pass the Colts. So the news that the Colts, that these last couple weeks are meaningless to them is not accurate to claim that, because if they lose out here, they'll be jumped by the AFC North and obviously the Bengals as well. And I don't like Jason Garrett's attitude. Maybe it's just lies. Maybe he's just not being straightforward. But saying, we're not looking at the early game results, and that will not determine for us whether or not we use DeMarco Murray. If that's true, then that's not that's not using your brain. If you don't need the game, then don't use DeMarco Murray.
They need it regardless, don't they?
They need it regardless, and I've got news for Jason Garrett. The Eagles are playing on Saturday, not Sunday morning, so whatever happens, he's going to have to – that result's going to come across his desk, I would say.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Also, you can watch that game and another one, Chargers against the 49ers on NFL Network.
Oh, look who's a shameless shill for the network. Good for you, handsome. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you. They pay my bills.
Last game, Monday Night Football, the aforementioned Denver Broncos at the Cincinnati Bengals. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I think the Bengals are going to be the first team to say to Peyton Manning, beat me.
That is certainly going to happen.
I realize I'd forgotten to tell you who's going to win, and I think they win that way as well.
All right, before I weigh in, Wes, how say you?
Challenge flag on
the
floor. Yeah!
Sing it!
I can't
red
sing.
Red challenge flag.
Red challenge flag.
I'm
going to
throw the red challenge flag.
What's that?
Wait, shouldn't it be Frosty the Snowman?
No,
wait, shouldn't it be Rudolph,
bells.
Though? Throw in the red challenge
Wes
flag.
Is like, what the heck am I doing here, man?
All right. I really like the decor in here. I feel like I'm in an old-timey sports bar with the memorabilia on your virtual
the vibe,
wall back
it?
There. I think it's a great look.
Thank you, Wes. Now, to the details of why you think the Denver Broncos will take down the Bengals.
I don't think I should have to say any more than Andy Dalton on national television.
That's true. That's
good
a
point.
That pretty much sums it up there. Here's another thing, too. We tend to make the mistake, myself included, of associating a team with what they've been doing over the last couple of years, and sometimes, like my old man, just associates every season with the history, the last 60 years of his fandom for a certain team. Like, Red Sox, my Red Sox, they just never win in Baltimore. They never win in Baltimore. For 60 years, they never won in Baltimore. Same old Penguins. Like they've been the worst team in the league, and they've won Stanley Cups. How can it be the same old anything with that?
This is a callback to Fabiano's trend against you can never have a successful USC quarterback or positions from colleges, which I always scratches me. I scratch my head on that one.
Okay. I will say here's why I like the Broncos because I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think I agree with you that they will challenge Peyton to beat them, but the fact of the matter is without Vontaze Burfict, we think of the Bengals as a really tough defense, but they haven't been since Vontaze Burfict was shelved for the season. Ergo, I will take the Broncos to keep their head above water for another week, but it is a gathering storm there, a mile high, unless Peyton shows us that he can, in fact, get something close to a spiral going again and throw it more than 25 yards downfield. All right, well, listen, get out of here, fellas. I appreciate you jumping into Studio 66. Even though I will see you, I'll wish you both happy holidays now. And let's get it over to our man, Torrey Smith.
Dave, dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't-don't, Dave.
Oh, this is very exciting. Joining us right now, a recent nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year trophy. The coolest trophy, I say, in all of pro football. Here he is, everybody. Number 82 for the Baltimore Ravens, Torrey Smith. What's the poop, fella?
What's going on?
Well, congratulations to you on that nomination. And listen, here's where we are, Torrey. We have not a lot of time. You're super fast. I am deadly accurate as a quarterback, so let's team up and get through as much as we can. You ready?
Let's do it.
Set, go. All right, the more interesting locker room presence that you've experienced, Ray Lewis or Steve Smith?
Mm-hmm. They're both different. You know, they're completely different. You know, Ray's a great leader, very passionate, and Steve's very passionate, but he's fiery, so it's a little different, but I've been lucky to be in the same locker room as both of those guys.
Make me, full disclosure, I root for the team that wears black and gold in your division.
It's all right.
Make me like Joe Flacco. Tell me something that will charm me about your quarterback.
Well, it's going to be tough for you to understand that, but
I'll try. My mind is open.
He's a winner. You know, I think that, you know, anytime you have a quarterback that wins games, and he's also the way he leads. You know, he's not a guy. He's not out there, you know, dogging his teammates, or, you know, he never puts the blame on anyone. He always shoulders the load, and he just goes out and performs, and he's having a great year so far, and, you know, it could be even better, you know, if we made a few more plays for him. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to play for any other quarterback but Joe.
The way things are shaping up right now, there's a pretty good chance the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens are going to play round three in January. Does that excite you, or would you just as soon avoid that?
I mean, whoever, if we're playing each other, then that means we're both in the playoffs. So, you know, that's a beautiful thing. But, you know, they're a tough team. You know, we know them very well. They know us very well. And it's always fun, you know, when we play them. It's very competitive. And, you know, they have a great coach over there, too, that does a great job with them. And as you know, the games are always, for the most part, they're close. There's been a couple off games that we've had. But it's always very competitive, and there's nothing like it.
Who is Torrey Smith, your favorite Torrey in the world? Yankees manager Joe Torrey, Torrey Spelling from 90210, alt singer Torrey Amos, Torrey Hunter, the outfielder in baseball, or if you want to choose yourself, you can say yourself.
I say Torrey Hunter. He's one of my favorite baseball players coming up.
Yeah, he's a delightful fella to boot. Yeah, he's a very fun guy to kibitz with. What is, Torrey Smith, your favorite Christmas special? What was it that you liked watching growing up or even now? Frosty, Rudolph, Santa Claus is coming to
Home
town.
Alone. Definitely Home Alone.
That's not a bad call. I like that. I didn't expect that one, but a good one there. All right, what do you want for Christmas?
Just nothing. You know, I'm not really a big person on gifts, but, you know, it'd be my first time having Christmas with my son. He's 8 months old.
Oh, congratulations.
And obviously my wife will be there. So just enjoying some family time. You know, I'm a big family guy. So, you know, it's huge for me.
Oh, good for you. I didn't know you had a new one in there. That'll be lots of fun for you. Last Sunday, you guys are down 12-10 to the Jacksonville Jaguars in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. What is said in the locker room?
Can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot. I mean, we had so many penalties, and, you know, I'm not taking away credit from anything they did because they did a great job, made some gutsy calls on special teams as well. But, you know, we weren't, you know, we were having penalties, we weren't making plays, and we just had to tighten up, and that's what we did the second half. There was really no panic.
All right, and last thing for you, you're a Raven. I am here to represent the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's show some holiday spirit and do a duet of a Christmas carol. I say it could be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but if you have a better one in mind, lay it on me.
All right. I don't even know if I remember all the words.
Okay, ready? Here we go. One, right. Two, three. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shy... No, yeah, you were. Let's try. Okay, ready? I mean, please, Torrey. Come on, man. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a
That's
very...
not the tempo of the song.
That is so the tempo of the song.
That's absolutely not it.
I don't
know. We got people
Rudolph
to vote on
the Red-Nosed Reindeer. All right, choose another one.
There you go. That's it.
Okay,
that's
ready?
It.
Here we go. One, two, go. Three. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer
right,
had a very shiny nose. All right, that's
you're
it.
Killing me.
This didn't work out, and that's what – you know what? I'm glad this was a test. I'm glad that the Steelers and Ravens can't come together, even at the holidays. We'll see you in January. Have a happy holidays in the meantime, Torrey Smith. Enjoy it with the little one there and the rest of the family. Gather around the fireplace, watch Home Alone, and then, like I say, hopefully our two teams will be hooking up come January.
All right, same to you. I hope you have a great one.
I do, too. And, again, congratulations on the Man of the Year nomination. Great stuff there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
See? Another nice Baltimore Raven, even though he isn't much of a singer. Clearly, I carry the duet there.
Dave pulled down a shack.
Good luck to Torrey as he... Well, I don't think he's really going to campaign for the Man of the Year award. That is the coolest trophy, though. Is that the coolest trophy, Black Tie Behind the Glass, in pro football?
It is pretty awesome, and Torrey is legitimately one of those guys who deserves it.
Super nice guy. Does a lot of work with literacy for kids.
Really smart guy.
Yeah, the Make-A-Wish and everything else. So, yeah,
I am disappointed in you, though.
Why?
He totally jived you, and you fell for it. He goes, there's no other quarterback I'd rather play with than Joe Flacco. Come on. Got to call him out on that. Really?
I didn't have time. As I said, I was trying to keep the pace going.
Can't let him off the hook.
You know what? Get him back on the show as soon as possible so I can.
Let's make it
let's
happen.
Wait till after the Super Bowl, though. Mm-hmm. or after they miss the playoffs. Because, well, the fact is, they're going to the playoffs. They have two games they should win. They should. That's the other thing. I wish I would have. That was the one game I left out there was Ravens at Texans. The Ravens should go down there and win, given the quarterback situation in Houston. But I don't know, man. J.J. Watt gives you a chance every game, it seems. They can run the ball, obviously. That's no gimme for Baltimore.
Do you remember we've had
But
J.
I think
J.
the Ravens
Watt
definitely go. I think the Ravens do. Of all the AFC North teams I feel best about going to the playoffs, I would say it's the Ravens. They have the best lock.
Do you recall having J.J. Watt in here about 2-3 years ago?
Before, no. Who did?
J.J. Watt.
On this show?
Yes, in studio.
We interviewed J.J. Watt?
We had J.J. Watt in here, yep.
Before he was J.J. Watt?
Agreed, yeah.
Really? Did we get photos?
They might exist somewhere. I'll look it up, but we did have J.J. Watt in here.
Wow, really? Was he nice?
He was a good dude, yeah. He was talking about his pizza days when he was a pizza delivery guy.
Wait a second. Is that true? We should dig that up then. We should give that. We should make that a little bonus, so a little holiday special for anybody. I didn't remember. I have no recollection of talking to J.J. Watt.
I recall him being in here for sure.
Maybe it was when we were at the Super Bowl. No. I've talked to him at the Super Bowl. I know that. We talked to him on NFL.com Live, show on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which, by the way, we'll be doing again this year from Arizona. Be on the lookout for that with Matt Money Smith, Rank, Molly Karam, and me talking to all the players and everybody else, the dignitaries who show up for the Super Bowl.
Black Tie. J.J. Watt was on episode 59.
Wow. You weren't even producing the show then.
Actually, no, that's what it was. He wasn't on the episode. He was on the Adam Rank Gridiron podcast for kids. That's what it was. So you were in here.
That explains it. But still, we should go back and dig that one up. That's pretty good.
For sure.
Last thing, Black Tie, before we wrap it up. Oh, Tuesday.
I started producing around episode 30, actually.
Oh, I always think it's 60 for some reason. All right, Black Tie, before we wrap it up in front of the weekend, what did you agree with Wes and Handsome, who said the Seahawks number one, Patriots two, and then the Packers? I go Packers one. I'm sorry, I go Patriots one, Packers two, Seahawks three. Do you agree with whose list do you agree with?
It's all about, you know, styles make fights, right? So yep. You got to think. I think the Seahawks own the Broncos. They've shown that. What Peyton likes to do with his bubble screens and all that stuff, they just, you know.
I don't think they own them. They beat them in overtime in Seattle.
Yeah,
I don't
but
think
they
own
control
them.
That game for the most part. It took Peyton about 7 quarters to figure out the Seahawks defense. I think the Seahawks have that. So it's tough. I got to go Seahawks 1. Likely. No, I'll go Packers 2. I go Packers.
Everybody
too.
Gets so consumed by what just happened.
No,
and, oh, they,
no,
well, they lost
no.
at the Bills, so they're not. Well, they must not be that good. That, listen,
I'm saying I go Packers too, though.
Okay,
that's legit.
I'm agreeing with you. The idea that people have just now knocked the Packers down a few pegs because they slipped up against a hungry Bills team in Buffalo is questionable.
And then I'll go the Pats, and then the Broncos.
All right, and then you also didn't weigh in
on the
athlete business.
Well, I think it's crazy. I think LeBron is no longer the best athlete in all of sports. I think he's declined, as you can see by his numbers. His season has been
that's true.
Field goal percentage is all the way down, no dunks, you know. I'll go with ODB by far is definitely the most spry athlete I've ever seen in the NFL. He just has springs. You know, some guys just have that quick twitch spring action to him, and that's who ODB is. I still think Calvin, when he's healthy, is probably a beast. But it's crazy because Calvin is, 6'5", 240, 250?
Well, that's the factor.
He would be a regular small forward in the NBA.
Right. If you said –
well, he'll be a big small forward. But
best
still.
Athlete, it matters how big you are, obviously. But that has to factor into it. That's why I said LeBron. I mean, if the standard was, okay, we've decided that the best three athletes in the world are LeBron – Cristiano Ronaldo and ODB, and said, all right, now you have to play each other in a round robin of each other's sports, LeBron James certainly would win that.
Well, I don't think that just having a skill for a sport doesn't necessarily define athleticism, though. You know, are you saying who's more skilled at a certain thing? Yeah, then obviously LeBron probably is more versatile and ODB next, but athleticism is not just that, you know?
Interesting. All right, well, listen, here's two notes for you. One, Keep the social study questions coming at us. Just use the hashtag DDFP, and we will try to get to it on an upcoming show. These kind of questions, this is my wheelhouse. Reckless speculation, Black Tie. That's what I like to do.
That's just how you roll, man. That's how you get down.
I love doing it. And thanks to Torrey Smith for singing along with me there.
And if you listen to the audio, the social study and Torrey Smith, those are going to be available as video, NFL Now, NFL.com. So please check those out, guys.
That's great. We appreciate everybody checking out the Brian Billick video we put out earlier this week on NFL.com. Did very well, apparently. A lot of people liked looking at that and hearing what Coach Billick had to say.
Man. Best podcast around. Coach Show.
Listen, you know my affection for it. And he weighed in on Johnny Football. He weighed in on Peyton, as well as who he thinks the one team in the AFC is that could knock off the Patriots up in Foxborough. And also, Week 16, football baby, taking the week off. It's a holiday, after all. He doesn't need the work. But those picks are coming. Someone is filling in for him. Not unlike Football Turkey did over Thanksgiving. Be on the lookout for that. That will be available very soon. And that's it. All right, Black Tie. Thanks to Chris Wessling. Thanks to Handsome Hank. Thanks to you. And
thanks to FanDuel.
Oh, and thanks to FanDuel as well. And that glorious read that you and Handsome put together there. Conversation. That wasn't a read. It was just a
scene.
It was an organic conversation that I happened to walk in on just before the show got going. All right, we'll be back after Week 16 to break it all down for you. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. Have a happy holidays. And it's been a thin slice of heaven.